Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name. What a glorious day. What a glorious opportunity. And what a glorious privilege you are giving us so that, Lord, this church will rise up. This church will move on. This church will march forward. And Lord, we pray that the glory of this latter day will be greater than the former days in Jesus' name. Lord, we're no more babies, we're no more toddlers, we're no more children. We're rising up like real militant army of the Lord. And Lord, like mature people, like real Christian people, like real Christian leaders, we want to take this whole land. And if we're going to take the land, everything about us must change. It will change in Jesus' name. You give us the eyes of leadership, the eyes of an eagle, the eyes of people that are climbing the mountain, the eyes of people that want to plant the seed of the gospel in the whole world, the eyes of the people that want to be like Elijah's and Elisha's and Daniel's and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Peter and Paul and John and James, the eyes of people that are going to take this gospel from this place and take it everywhere in the world in Jesus' name. Lord, the spectacles of those little minded people, take all those spectacles away from us. And Lord, help us to see like you see. Take us to the mountaintop. And then from that mountaintop, we'll see far ahead in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you very much. We can sit down. We're looking at the church again. And we're looking at a glorious church. We're looking at a growing church. And we're looking at what kind of ministers and what kind of leaders will be able to lead the growing, glorious church. As the church is growing, we need to understand that the teachers in the church must grow with the church that is growing. As the church is growing, we must learn that the workers in the church must grow with the growing church. As the church is growing, we must understand that the preachers, the people that come to serve the bread of life and come to give us the water of life, and the people that serve this nourishing meal that we are taking, making us to develop and grow from childhood to adulthood, those leaders too, and the preachers and the proclaimers and the pastors and the shepherds, they must grow too. That's the reason we're looking at this growing, which is the growing glorious church. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm looking at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away what? Childish things. What does this mean? First of all, the Apostle Paul is saying, when I was a child, when I was a child. And he became an apostle almost at the same time he became a Christian. Think about that. He was commissioned almost at the same time he was converted. And he started preaching, started the ministry just at the same time he came into the fold. There wasn't any wide gap between conversion and commissioning for Paul the Apostle. There wasn't any wide gap between membership and ministry in the case of Paul the Apostle. And yet he said, there was a time I was a child. A child as a minister. A child as a preacher. A child as a shepherd. A child as a pastor. A child as somebody that is giving out the bread of life to other people. Then he said, when I was a child, I understood as a child. I looked at the gospel, I understood it as a child. I looked at the ministry, I understood it as a child. I looked at all the responsibilities I needed to carry out, I understood it as a child. And then he said, I thought as a child. The planning of a little child, the strategy of a little child, and the plans of action, that she is after you have the strategy and now the plan of action. I plunged as a little child, and then the movement, and then the work that I did. I did that work as a little child, and I thought as a little child. And then he said, when I became a man. And he's talking about himself. And he said, when I became a man, then I put away childish things. Well, do you know why we have problems in our families? You know, sometimes daddy and mommy, they have this little baby, innocent baby, a young child, and they're treating the child a particular way. And then the child has gone to primary school now, and the child is out of primary school, and the child is going from 12 to 13, and is entering the teen years, and then 14, and daddy and mommy, they're still treating, that's my little child, that's my little child. And then the child becomes 18 and 19, and goes away from the teens and comes to 20 and 21, and then somebody comes, and then you know, mommy is saying, hey, come on here, come and greet our visitor. And then visitor, that's my child. And the child will frown. Mommy, you started again. Child, child. 21, child. I'm 22, child. I'm 23, child. Did you hear that before? You don't like it. And you shouldn't like it. Because daddy and mommy do not change. And then their daughter is now 27. And a 27 child, year old child, is trying to get married. And then mommy is saying, come and tell me, what are you doing? How about this? I saw something the other time. Mommy, what's the matter? I'm 27 or 29, whatever. I'm seeing your mother. Child is child. Child is child. And then the lady now is getting married at 36. And then mommy says, you didn't even talk to me all this time. Because you have got married, are you not my child anymore? Child is child. And then the daughter is trying to avoid you. Because now you are kind of, you're irritating her. And you're not really understanding that when your daughter was a child, you treated her as a child. And you thought of the interaction and the way you will handle her as a child. Now that she's become a lady, and become a married woman, you treat her in a very different way. People don't understand that. And that's why sometimes I'm quite fortunate over here, because, you know, we started the Deeper Life Bible Church in 1973. And God used me to start. And I've been preaching in Deeper Life from 1973 to this since 2010. It will almost be, you know, 37 years very soon. And, you know, people, sometimes those who have been here with us when we, you know, started, and when I was just a little child in ministry, and then, you know, up to this age now, 37 years in ministry. And there are people that come, and they will still want to treat that 37-year-old minister the same way they will treat a toddler in ministry. It doesn't work. And then not only that, look at our state overseers here. Our state overseers, some of them have been state overseers for 20 years or for 25, 30 years. And the same thing, you know, I need to be very strong on this. I went to, you know, United States, I think it was last year, we're having a convention. And I told our overseers, I said, please, overseers, we're having all this, you know, if the church is going to grow, and we're going to get these people from various parts of America, the whites and the black Americans and everybody, we must comport ourselves in such a way that we know that this is the level of the church, this is a culture here. And therefore you are not going to, don't tie your scarf like they tie it in Nigeria. I said, if any cook from Nigeria comes to America and he has a restaurant, if he's having that restaurant in Nigeria and he succeeded, he cooked this, what do you call it now? Amala. You like that? And then he puts pepper. That if you don't put pepper, any Nigerian person will come here and eat and say, ah, madam, what's the matter? This food was, it's like I want to vomit. Put pepper, that tears will be coming out of my eyes. I said, now if that person comes to establish restaurant in New York, and then he cooks the same good, wonderful food like he cooks Nigeria, nobody will approach that person. That restaurant will fail. That therefore is saying, well, the gospel, when you package the gospel, and there you're giving the gospel to these people, you must make sure that you have a presentation that is going to be acceptable and attractive to the people you're ministering to. And so our leaders, our leaders will normally say yes to me. They understood what I've said. And they went to their choir. And then as what they said now, the pastor has said, this is what you do. You must approach everything like this and don't tie your scarf. And this thing, this round, I don't know what you call it, or whatever the name. Don't tie it like you do it in Nigeria. One of the, Nigerian sisters there told that pastor and said, even if Pastor Kumei comes there directly to tell me, I will not do it. I'm going to keep on tying my scarf like I do. I'm not going to change, I'm going to keep to the old standard. Honestly contending for the faith. Tying scarf, that's her faith. That's her faith. Children in understanding. And then she had the boldness to say, that even if Pastor Kumui comes here to tell me to do it this way, I will not. When you think of something like that, treating me as if I'm still the little boy of 1973, nobody will tell me that in deeper life. That's the reason why, as if you really want to grow and you want to reach out, you must respect your pastor. If I come here, I'm studying the Bible. My life is totally in the Word. And if I come here and I tell you what to do, now this is the direction to go now, and this is what to change. We're not changing doctrine. But if we say this is what to do, immediately you'll not be thinking like a little child. It says that when I was a child, I was, means I'm no more a child. Praise the Lord. And it says, when I was a little child, I spoke as a child. And the same thing every second. I just mentioned the choir, about the ushers, and I about the security. And then, so that's why it's saying now in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm reading from verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, how be it in malice. Be children, but in understanding, be men. In understanding, grow up. In approach, grow up. In delivering the message of the word, grow up. When you were a child, you might have spoken like a child, and you thought like a child, and you preached like a child, but now you put away childish things. Growing with the growing glorious church. I want you to just, travel with me a little bit. 1973, the way I used to dress, I have my, shorts, and then my trousers, no tie. What did I need tie for? And then I just thought about, and people were saved, and people were sanctified, and people were filled with the Holy Ghost, and people were healed. And then it came to 1982, we wanted to start a church. And all of a sudden, then I began to realize that if I have the shot like that, and I don't modify, that's not doctrine. When I was a child, I thought as a child. And when you're ministering to Bible study, you can't dress like Bible study leader. But now we're having church. And then I put on this one. Look up here. Look at the way I am now. Is this good? Or I should drop this one and go to my shorts? Is this good? You like this? Now, you see, the point I'm making is, we modify these things that were held to be able to reach out to other people. As the church, I come to appeal to you. I'm not talking now as if I'm, commanding you, this is what you do. I'm begging and pleading that we as church, that the things we need to grow up in, doctrine is constant, but approach, relationship, appearance, and this and that, that will make us match the great ministry that the Lord is bringing away, and that the church is expanding and increasing and going deep and going higher, that by the grace of God, we'll do that same thing. We're going to do it in Jesus' name. And sometimes when husband and wife, they're living with children, and then, the way husband and wife talk at home, and they'll say, Daddy, why didn't you come to your table in time? I've been waiting, I'm hungry and all this. That's when they are alone. But when an August visitor comes to the house, I mean, everything is well dressed. And then, you know, the woman is going to talk to the husband. The respect and everything. And the visitor will say, oh, I wish my wife had come with me to see. The wife ought to be a, hey, my brother. That's not how they do it every time. It's because you are there. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is, I'm saying now that we should respect our pastor. And not treat him like a little child. And we should respect all our other overseers and everybody too, and not look down or beat down on our leadership, because our leadership is all we have. It's all we have. And if the leadership is gone, the church is gone. Respect them. I'm dividing the message into three parts. Number one, the glowing stage of a growing church. The church that is growing and glowing at the same glowing stage of a growing church. Number two, the great size of a glorious church. The great size of a glorious church. Number three, the growing shepherds of a glorious church. Growing shepherds of a glorious church. Number one, the glowing stage of a growing church. As we look at the growth of the church, I've seen that in the Acts of the Apostles, the church grew. Number one, numerical growth. Number two, spiritual growth. Number three, local growth. Number four, national growth. Number five, it's social growth. Number six, international growth. Number seven, universal growth. And as the church is growing, and then you happen to be a minister in that church that is growing like that numerically, and different kinds of people are now coming to the church because of that numerical growth. And then there's a spiritual growth. They're going deeper, they're going higher, they're going wider in their understanding and intimacy with the Lord. And then there's the local growth. Even in the city of Jerusalem, you see, my brother, how many thousands there are that believe in the city. Even in that local city, the local growth, the national growth, you know, they went, you know, to all the parts of the part of Israel, and this city, and this city, and this city, and the church adding to, you know, their kind of local churches. So you have the cities and the villages, the whole of the nation, and then the social growth. And as you read the Acts of the Apostles, of the great and chief men and women, not a few, that highly placed people were now coming to the church, that's social growth. Then the international growth, as you know, going away from Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea to the uttermost part of the earth. Now you have that international growth, then the universal growth, that children are there, women are there, married people are there, everybody there, and the, you know, chief of the fathers, they are there, and the priests were getting converted, everybody, and then the Roman soldiers were getting converted, and there are even believers from the house and from the palace of Herod. There is the universal growth. When the church is growing like that, then the leadership of that church must grow to match the growth of the church. If you're still like a local teacher, a local pastor, when the church has gone national, you're not going to be able to match that growth. If you're still a nationalistic person that is only having this idea and opinion of what we do only in our nation, and then the church has grown international, you're not going to be able to effectively do what you need to do. That's the reason why, as we look at the growth of the church, we're saying, because the church is growing. Church is growing spiritually. The leader must grow spiritually to match that growth. If the church is growing numerically, the church, the minister must reach that opportunity, that growth. There's some people, the way they talk is the way they always talk. They have low voice, and then they have a very, you know, this shrilling kind of high-pitched voice. That's what they maintain every time. Even if the church becomes 1,000 or 2,000, their level, they never exert themselves, they never raise their voice, just what the people at the back cannot hear anything, and they just bend it, but the man is just like that. You must grow. And you look at the way the church is growing, that church that is growing numerically, you must grow too, and then it becomes national. National. In our nation here, we have more than 400 dialects and languages. Not the east is there, the west West is there, the North is there, and the South is there. And you know that our cultures are different. If the church now has reached everywhere, we must grow. We must grow. The growth of the church, I will try to match the growth of the church in the administration of the church. That's how the church deeper life is growing, without any, you know, rancor or fighting or whatever. Because as we go national, leadership goes national. As we go international, if leadership goes international. Because when the church grows, then we must recognize that that's the growth of the church, and leadership will match that growth. And I'm sure now you overseers, you understand, sometimes there is somebody from the West that is qualified to be a state overseer, and there's somebody from the North is qualified to be a state overseer, but the state overseers in the West, you know, when you look at all our state overseers, when you count the number, the number is very high. And so, and the number of the overseers from the North, if it's very small, at this time I'll make a northerner a state overseer. And then somebody is wondering, how could he do that? I know more than that person. Yes, I know. We are going national. And because of that, we know what we're doing. That's why the church, as you look at, this is the way the church is going, and the church is growing, and then we who are in leadership will match it in Jesus' name. I'm looking at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 of Acts of the Apostles, and we're looking at it from verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, we're going far now, and in Samaria, we go farther, and to the uttermost part of the earth. That's church growth that has gone from city to country, and then to the continent, and then to the world. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verse 7. It says in verse 7, and the word of the Lord increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. A great company. A great company. Of who? Tell me out loud. Ah, remember, those are the people Jesus was speaking about in Matthew chapter 23. A great number of the priests, but now they came to the faith. And you want to be careful now about how you say, woe unto you Pharisees and Sadducees, because you ought to be careful. And Paul himself said, I'm a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, and for the faith of the fathers am I held here in question. You see, as the church is growing, and the Pharisees are now getting converted, and the Sadducees are getting converted, and there you are now approaching them, you're not approaching them at the same way as when they were not converted. Now they're in the church. As the church is growing socially, then you also understand your mind, your language. I'm looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, verse 25. In verse 25 of Acts of the Apostles, it says, and they went, they had testified and preached the word of the Lord. They returned to Jerusalem and they preached the gospel in many villages of the... Tell me out loud. Who are these? This is Peter and John. John, what happened to you? This is the John that told Jesus, Lord, permit us, or James, to call down fire on them, because they will not allow Jesus Christ to pass through their city to go to Jerusalem. The same John now, he has changed. He has changed. Instead of wanting to call down fire in all the villages of the Samaritans, they went from one to the other preaching the gospel. And it's the gospel of salvation. And they preached it in such an inviting, convincing way. They changed. That's the reason why we must change. They knew that the church now was growing. It was growing from just a city and going to the nation, and even going beyond their nation. Look at verse 40 there. In verse 40 it says, that's Acts chapter 8, and Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You see, as the church expanded and cities were coming in and villages were coming in, things were becoming very, very different. Acts of the Apostles chapter 15 verse 3. Acts chapter 15, looking at it from verse 3. And then it says, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. Another side has now come into the growth of the church. The Gentiles now were coming. They were coming to the church. That means the people that were not Jews. I want you to think about this now. Let's say somebody from Israel, a Jew, came over here. And he wanted to start missionary work in Nigeria, and there was no deeper life. And he has all these doctrines of the Bible, and he knows the Bible and understands the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But then, because he's a Jew and he's coming from Israel to start with, he begins to tell the Nigerians that this is the way, the food you must eat and the food you must eat. And he brings the diet of Israel to Nigeria. Not only that, the way the people in the Middle East, the way they dress, this long gown that they wear, and then the kind of trousers they wear, and then the kind of turban they have. And he says, now this, I'm bringing this from Israel, and the totality, if you want to accept, accept. If you don't want to accept, don't accept, because everything is the gospel. He had not had many converts, because the relatives of the converts will be saying, they're not saying you went to Christianity, they will say you have become a Jew, you have become this. And then he also says, circumcision, he begins to invite everybody and he says, are you circumcised? So you say yes, okay, and he wants to find out, that's examining you, whether you're circumcised or not. And then he's no, I'm not circumcised, okay, go over there. And they have the clinic for circumcision as part of their Christian faith. That church will not grow. They say, turn it around, Nigeria. The Lord has given us the gospel. And then you go to all these places and then you say, what do you eat? Or you say, we eat rice, we eat mashed potato. You have not got the whole thing. Do you know what they call Gary? Gary, what's that? I don't know. Okay, come to my house, I'll teach you. And then we get all the women together to how to prepare Gary, because now we are Christians. And how to prepare this, because we are Christians. I hear about some of these deeper life women, and then they call all these other women. You don't know how to tie this cap. Okay, I'll teach you, because now you're going to become really sanctified. And then you come on here. And we'll get to the room, and then you tie it like this, and tie it like this. Practice, let me see you. Okay, you are getting, you are not there yet. Do it again. Now you are deep alive. If we do that, if that's the gospel we preach, we're not going to reach further. We're not going to reach anybody. But it is when you understand that the gospel is going and is growing and is getting to areas we never reach. What if the Lord had given a Namibian the gospel to bring to Nigeria? And then they begin to teach us how to tie scarf in Nigeria, and they waste their time on such a thing. The church will not grow. Give the gospel to the people. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I become mature, a man, we think like men, we act like men, we preach like men, and we leave all the childish things and all the non-essentials, and the essential things we concentrate on, we're going to do it like that. I said we'll do it like that. And I hope nobody there is going to say, even if the GS says, now that's not a good spirit. A good spirit is my Father and the Lord is talking to me, and he's opening the scriptures, and we know this is true, and we're going to follow. We'll follow in Jesus' name. I'm looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and we're looking at verse 4. And some of them believed and consulted with Paul and Silas, and devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Think about that. Of the chief women, of the Greek women. You know, the Greeks were philosophers. The Greeks were the scientists. The Greeks were the people that are very much educated. And you know, Peter was just a fisherman, and John a fisherman, and Andrew a fisherman, and all these other apostles, they were not like the Greek people. But now, the gospel is coming to the Greek people. And as it's coming to the Greek people, how did God use? God used Paul the apostle to get the gospel to them. And you know, some of the, that's what Jesus said. He said, my disciples, you know what? There are many things that would have taught you, I cannot teach you now because you cannot bear them. Think about that. They were consecrated, they were committed, and they were given to the Lord and given to the ministry. But Jesus said, there are some things I cannot tell you now. But when the Holy Ghost has come, he will teach you all things. Then the Holy Ghost came and said, Peter, rise up and eat. And he said, never. Lord, that never entered my mouth before. I will never do that. And he had to say it, and he was baptized. The Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues, and he had all, his shadow was healing the sick. And he was the one that said, he was the one that said, silver and gold am I none. What have I given in the name of Jesus? Watch. Rise up and walk. And the man rose up. And the Holy Ghost said, go to Cornelius' house. Said, me? Never. And eventually, he got there. After the Lord spoke three times, when he got there, the very first thing he said, hey, you know, this is not according to custom. I don't know what I'm doing here. But in any case, the Lord said, I should come. What's the matter with you? What do you want? And then he said, you know, they said everything that they said. And then while he was still speaking, he will not talk to him about it. Never. He will not talk about that. They should see the Holy Ghost. He was wasting time. Before he finished, God said, if I wait for this man, these people will not receive the Holy Ghost. He poured the Holy Ghost upon them. And then he said, see. See what God has done. What am I going to do now? Who can forbid water that these be not baptized? Then they were baptized. Then he came back home. They were waiting for him in Jerusalem. Holy Ghost people, come on here. We heard that you went to the Gentiles. You ate with them. That's a big deal. That those people were saved, that one is nothing. That were filled with the Holy Ghost, that one is nothing. We heard that you went to the Gentiles and you ate with them. And Peter said, I'm just like you. It's not my fault. The Holy Ghost bade me go. These brethren, they will testify. Did I want to go? I'm just like you. Then they kept quiet. See how the church is so slow. I'm going to tell you something. If you go to Israel now, there is no trace of real Christianity. All that those apostles did, and they were just on their law, on their circumcision, with the gospel. Everything they did stopped with them. The only way Christianity remains is because of what Paul the apostle did in the Gentile world. And he was a Jew, he was a more serious Jew and Pharisee like any of these apostles. But he grew, he changed. And it was that growing, with the growing church, that makes his work to remain. And that's the reason we're saying we're going to grow up. Because as we grow up, this church is going to go places. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Because it says in that verse 4, it says, the Greeks, they believed, and then of the chief of the women that believed in verse 6, and they were dead, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these men that have turned what? The world upside down. The church had become international. They turned the whole world upside down. They had come hither also. I'm looking at verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. At the end of it all, see what the church becomes. After this, I beheld and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations. That's international. You see that now. And then it says, of all kindreds and people and tongues, that's of various languages, they stood before the Lord, before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which seated upon the throne, and to the Lamb. It became eternal and universal. Everybody, everywhere now. I pray that God will count you worthy to be part of that church in Jesus' name. We're looking at point number 2, great signs of a glorious church. The great signs of a glorious church. As we go from city to city and nation to nation and continent to continent, and the church is growing, what are the signs that the church is growing healthy? And it's growing spiritually, and the church is growing in a balanced way. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to verse 27. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present it to himself. What kind of church? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's look at an example of the signs of a glorious church. Signs of a glorious church. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'm reading there from verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your walk of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You see that? The evidence that the church was a glorious church, their love, their hope, their faith. The evidence that the church was a glorious church, the work and the labor and the patience. Let's look at that saying, chapter 1, and we're looking at it from verse 6. From verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They were evangelistic, they were soul winning, and they actually carried the message across to other people. That is a glorious church, chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They didn't argue with their preachers. They didn't argue with any doctrine. That's a glorious church. That when they received the word of God, they just received it wholeheartedly with all their hearts. And they knew that this was the word of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, faith and charity, faith and love, and that she have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. That's a glorious church. The membership, all of them, they were desirous, want to see a pastor, want to see a pastor. And their pastors too, their leaders wanted to see them. And when, Timothy came back and said, Paul, you know those people? They're so eager, they are saying, when are you coming to them? And Paul said, I'm eager to, I want to get you. That's a glorious church. Look at verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. They were standing fast in the Lord and said, I'm alive. I'm so excited to be living at this time. I'm excited to be your pastor. That is a glorious church. We're looking at chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren. That's a glorious church. They loved one another. And there was no kind, there was no criticism, condemnation, beating other people down, lifting up ourselves and belittling other people. Nothing like that. They loved one another. And then he said, we beseech you now, brethren, that she increase more and more. Chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Even as also ye do. You are edifying one another, building up one another, encouraging one another, challenging one another, and you are kind of, you're an encouragement everywhere that you go. And we hear news about you that you just love one another, and if somebody is following you, lift them up. That's a glorious church. That's a glorious church. It's not just a church concentrating on external things, external appearance. These people were people that they were encouragement to one another, an encouragement to their leadership too. Look at verse 12, and we beseech your brethren to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem, and to honor, and to exalt, and to respect them very highly. You see, that's a glorious church. When the membership of the church, they esteem and they honor and they exalt their pastors and their leaders very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. That's a glorious church. And that's the kind of church the Lord is expecting, that in these last days we're going to raise up a church that will not be, putting down their pastors in the private, that will not be treading over their pastors in the private, a sure that you will not be saying, oh, don't we know him? We've been here since 1970. What if he's called GS or called pastor? And what does that mean? And without us, can he be what he is? Not a church like that. A church that has that respect. And whether our visitors are here or not, anytime we're together, I will see that respect because of the work's sake and for the word of God that we're preaching. Look at verse 13, and to esteem them very highly. Esteem your pastor. Esteem your GS very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That's a good church. That's a glorious church. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. That's a glorious church. And then it says, despise not, prophesy, prove all things, hold fast to all that which is good, abstain from every appearance of evil, all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your soul, your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithfully see which calleth you, who also will do it. That's a glorious church. You see all those signs in that. Your 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. In the 1 Thessalonians, he told them, we appreciate you for your faith, for your love, and for your hope. But now when he's writing to them in 2 Thessalonians, he says, we're thanking God for you because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory, we rejoice, we celebrate you. We glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You see all those signs? They are the signs of a glorious church. I'm looking at chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. They believe the truth, the totality of the word of God. And that's a glorious church. Look at chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 1, brethren, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, and be glorified even as it is with you. The word of God had free course in their midst. When the preaching was coming to them, they just accepted everything and drank in everything. And that's a glorious church. And if our church is like that, and thank God our church is like that, and will exhibit and demonstrate that more and more in Jesus' name. And then we're looking at it, we're looking at verse chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 4. Now in verse 4 it says, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that she both do and will do. That's a glorious church. We have confidence in you, members, that ye do and ye will do the things which we command you. And I pray that this will be the state of our ministers and the state of our churches all through, in Jesus' name. Point number 3 now, the growing shepherds of a glorious church. As the church is growing and glowing, and it's also glorious, what kind of shepherds, what kind of servants, what kind of preachers, what kind of pastors, what kind of overseers should we have? There will be people who are growing with the church as the church is growing. There will be people who are also glorious as the church is glorious. And there will be people who are glowing as the church is also glowing. And you know some words, you know, when we say good, better, what's the next word? Best. When you compare good and better, that means we say superlative. That means you are at this level, you come to a higher level. Look at what the word of God says now. Job chapter 17 verse 9. Job chapter 17 verse 9. The stage of the pastor, of the shepherd, of the teacher, of the leader, of the overseer. We're looking at Job chapter 17, and we're looking at verse 9. The righteous also shall hold on his, and he that has clean hands shall be, tell me the rest, stronger and stronger. Something that should describe the life of the shepherd, of a pastor, that's growing, as the church is growing, you're becoming strong and strong. Number two, we're looking at Psalm 119, and we're looking at verse 98. 119, verse 98, verse 98. In verse 98, through thy commands, as wiser than mine enemies, for ever with me. The word here is wiser, stronger. The second word is wiser, that the church is growing. Now you have to deal with, you know, the young people, you have to deal with university people, you have to deal with, you know, the lecturers and professors, you have to minister to the politicians, you have to minister to everybody. You are on the one, wiser on the other hand. Lamentation chapter 4, Lamentation chapter 4, we're looking at verse 7, Lamentation chapter 4, verse 7. Lamentation chapter 4, verse 7, her Nazareth were purer than snow, and they were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, and their polishing was of sapphire. The Nazarites were the people dedicated to the Lord, like you and like me, and it should be purer and whiter, purer. You see, as the church is growing, you're not going to be at the same level you were many years ago. You should be stronger, you should be wiser, you should be purer. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 56. I'm reading from verses 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 4 and 5. For thus says the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and hold and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place, and in them better than the sons and of the daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. The word there is better. You see, what the Lord is expecting, that the servants of the Lord, the ministers of the gospel, who are preaching the word of God, as the church is growing, and therefore in every area of your life, every area of your ministry, you are getting stronger, you are getting wiser, you are getting purer, you are getting whiter, you are getting better. We're looking at Psalm 89, I'm reading from verse 27, Psalm 89 verse 7. Here it says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like thee? And to thy faithful, and to thy faithfulness round about thee. And then it, verse 27 is what I'm looking for. Psalm 89 verse 27. Are you there now? And I will also make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. The word there is higher. I'll make him higher. You see, as we're growing on, and you see the church is expanding, it's extending, it's going deeper and going high, you too as a minister, you are getting stronger, and you too as a minister, you are getting wiser, you are getting purer and whiter, and you are getting better, you are getting higher too. And this is your prayer, Psalm 61, I'm reading from verse 2, from the edge of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Here you are now at this level, and you see the rock up there. So I need to go higher. See, the church is getting higher and is getting farther. Because of that, you yourself too, you want to be led to the rock that is higher than yourself. I'm looking at Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Look at what verse 8 is saying. Here the Lord says, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. The word is harder, harder. And you know, sometimes as you minister in the church, and many people are coming into the church, and some people are tough, and you have to be tougher. And some people are hard, and you have to be harder. And some people are just rigid, and you have to also be like a rock, so that if the people you are leading, if they're kind of militant people, aggressive people, you don't want them to run you down. That the word of God says there, you have to develop the understanding and the toughness in your mind and your character and your leadership as well. Because God said, Ezekiel, you know what? I'm not sending you to easygoing people and nice people and, you know, people that are so. I'm sending you to people that they're very tough. And I've done something for you. I've made your face, I've made your mind harder, even than the flint. And that's the reason why you need to grow in your understanding, stronger and wiser and purer and whiter and better and higher and harder and, by the grace of God, greater. I said you'll be greater. Greater than you were before. Give me a good amen. Amen. You know, some people, they're looking at the time and they respect the time more than the scripture. And they say, well, once the time is gone, I shut up. All right, you shut up, I open up. How about you? Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is, tell me the rest, is greater than he, is greater than he, greater. The Lord is telling us that his church is growing. His church is growing numerically. His church is growing spiritually. His church is growing locally. His church is growing nationally. His church is growing socially. His church is growing internationally. His church is growing universally. And because of that growth of the church, you too, the minister, the leader, the preacher, the overseer, you must grow higher, grow stronger, grow wiser, grow purer, grow better, and grow harder, and grow greater. It will happen in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. That as the church is growing, which you will grow. And if God has sent you as a missionary to another nation, you understand that the church is not growing nationally. And you'll not keep on acting the way you used to act and behaving the way you used to behave and talking and preaching the way you used to preach. And things will get higher. Things will get better. Talk to the Lord that the Lord will help you and increase your understanding. Increase the anointing. Increase the focus. So that by the grace of God, you'll be able to actually do greater things and better things and higher things. Let's talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's talk to the Lord in prayer that the Lord himself will touch our hearts and transform us and turn us around. That will not be the way we've always been. And the Lord is revealing to us things that concern leadership. Things that concern leadership. And we're going to adjust. Well, you were a child, you spoke as a child, you thought as a child, you behaved as a child. But now that you're a man, a minister, you put away all those childish things. In understanding, be men. That understanding will affect your attitude, your ministry, your response, your reaction, your growth, your development. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, lead me on. If your people are saved, you must be saved, and your salvation should be higher and deeper than this. If your members are committed, you ought to be committed, and your commitment should be higher, greater, deeper than this. If your members are giving, they're giving their treasure, they're giving their money, they're giving their time, they're giving everything they've got, you as their minister, you have to give greater, give greater, give yourself. If they are sanctified and holy, praise the Lord, you as a minister must show a greater form, a greater level of sanctification. of holiness, of purity of heart, purer, holier than the rest of them. Your members are married and they're keeping a peaceful family. You too, as a minister, must give such deep peace in your family that will be deeper than the peace the families in the church have. If they are gentle, you should be more gentle. If they are tough, you should be tough as well. Not effeminate, not a sissy. I know somebody that cannot stand the heat of the day. But a person that will be able with tough mind, when the goings get tough, and then in your mind, in your life, in your heart, in your character, in your behavior, your ministry, your administration, then you manifest that same tough mind. And you lead on. So that all the time, every time, you're always ahead, always going farther and farther. And the members of the church, and then you understand the whole emphasis is not on external things. External things. How the tie scarf, how high the heels of the shoe should be, what color they wear, what color they don't wear. Think about that. But to emphasize the inner qualities, inner virtues of the Christian life, the righteousness, the godliness, the beauty of holiness, the peace, the gentleness, the radiant life, the holy life. Glorious church. I will send the evidence of that glorious church, the evidence of that glorious church, and the Lord wants us to show, to manifest, to demonstrate the glory of a saved church, the glory of a sanctified church, the glory of a shining church. And you, your leadership, your ministry, the way you are guiding, the way you are leading, will show, will demonstrate how to take the church higher, make the church better, make the church grow greater, more spiritual. Commit yourself fully to the Lord, completely to the Lord, and say, Lord, here am I today. Work in me, that your grace will do a deeper work. That your spirit will do a deeper work in me. More righteousness give us. More holiness give us. More understanding give us. More maturity give us. More strength give unto us. More power, more vision, more ability give unto us. That the members of the church will not be having more vision, greater vision, brighter vision, higher vision than we have as the leaders. More humility give us. More meekness give us. More gentleness give us. That the Lord himself will take us higher and take us deeper and make us reach farther than we ever did. Pray that the Lord will help you. He will, he will. If you are relaxed, released into his hands, he will. Talk to the Lord and tell the Lord, oh Lord, take me deeper. Oh Lord, take me higher. Look at the church, your pastor. Is it growing spiritually? The church will grow more spiritual. Pray. The Lord will help you to bring on maturity, development, going higher, greater, stronger, better. That the riches of His grace, and the beauty of godliness, will increase greater and greater in your life, in your ministry, your understanding deeper and deeper. The knowledge in the things of the Lord, interpretation, application, your deeds, practice. I mean the sterling quality of somebody touched and transformed by grace. Lord, take me higher. Lord, take me deeper. Take me farther. That will be conscious of the growth of the church. And let your attitude, your lifestyle, your behavior, your conduct, your ministry match the growth of the glowing, glorious church. New attitude, grow. A new beginning, a new behavior, grow. A new conduct, new conviction, new courage, grow. A new desire, new demand, new direction, grow. A new expectation, new excellence, grow. A new faithfulness, a new focus, you must grow. A new guide, a new hospitality, a new interest, new interpretation, new influence. Better influence, greater influence, richer influence, stronger influence. You must grow. A new joy. The joy of the Lord be your strength. In this new journey, with a new journal, grow. A new key, a new kindness. You must grow. Your love. New light, new leadership style, grow. A new mind, a new motive, must grow. A new nature, new nurture, you must grow. A new openness, openness to opportunities. Openness to ministry. Openness to challenges. Must grow. A new patience. Must grow. A new level of quietness. Not boisterous, aggressive, beating out everything, running out everything. Quietness. And let the quietness have a perfect work. We must grow. A new relationship now. A new sobriety. A and your sweetness grow. A new tongue, new teachability, be teachable, grow. A new unity of the body of Christ, a new uniqueness, a new understanding must grow. Be a new voice for righteousness, a new vigilance must grow. A new walk, new wisdom must grow. A new x-ray, examine yourself, grow. A new yearning to want to be a new man, a new minister, grow. A new zeal for the things that matter. A new zeal for the things that matter. There are things that don't matter. Don't be zealous on non-essentials, like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Don't be zealous on things that are not productive. Don't be zealous on things that don't produce results. Be zealous on things that matter. A new zeal. And then God will give us a new year. And then God will give us a new year.